We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
The first words that we have recorded from Jesus are, "I am about my Father's business." What is the Father's business? Jesus was on a mission, and on the cross before he died, he declared, "It is finished." When a resurrected Jesus appeared to his disciples, he gave them commands that spoke to the promise and plan of the Father. What is this plan? What is the Father's business? Now, while we don't claim to understand the fullness of the Father's business, we do believe it is centered on people. We believe the Father is in the people business.
You're good. Could you handle some good news? Could you handle a testimony real quick? All right, our really good friend, Pastor David Fuller, has been in a coma, and we have been praying like crazy. We love him. He means so much to Redemption Church, and we got terrible things said about him from a neurologist. All kinds of bad things happened. He had a pulmonary embolism, which is a blood clot that hit his lungs. Most people die immediately, but he was put in this coma, and guess what? About an hour ago, he woke up from that coma. He's answering questions. God did that. Thank you, Jesus. That's the Jesus we believe in. That's the Jesus we worship. That's the Jesus. The stripes of Jesus were for that healing right there. We believe it. So let me tell you this. Whatever you need, God can do that for you. Whatever it is, because he is a miracle God. He can do anything you need. Okay, so you shouldn't walk out of this place sad. You shouldn't walk out of this place depressed. You should walk out of this place healed. You should walk out of this place with peace. You should walk out of this place with joy, because Jesus, a very live Jesus full of awesome power, is in this house ready to do things for you. I'm so glad about it. I'm glad about it. I'm pumped. Woo! Thank you, Lord. You heard in that video, the first words we have recorded from Jesus are, "I am about the Father's business." And while we aren't completely certain on everything, the fullness of the Father's plan, the Father's business, we are certain that it centers on people. When we look in the Bible, it's very clear to us that people are important to God. In creation, God created everything, not for himself, but for mankind. Everything that he created, the sun, it's for mankind. The air that they breathe, he created that. It was for mankind, all right? He created that for mankind. He created the perfect conditions for people to live. And then he put people in charge of his creation. God completely invests in Adam and Eve. He doesn't just create them and then just walk off and forget them. He completely invests in them. He enters into a relationship with them, a covenant with them. And even when they break his trust, his actions show people are important. When you break trust with God, his actions towards you still tell you that you matter, you're important, and that you're loved by him. Let me tell you that people are important to God, not just certain kinds of people, not just Christians, not just Republicans or Democrats, like God chooses a side there, not just Americans, not just white people or black people or Mexican, not Spanish, not just Asian people. No, all people. All people are important to God. Do you believe that? Red and yellow, black or white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves all the people of the world, not just people of a certain color, not just people of a certain nationality, but all people. Here's some scripture about it, Revelations 5 and 9. And they sang a new song. They had some church up in heaven singing worship songs in Revelation 5, 9. And they sing, "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals." I bet it's a catchy tune. I don't know what it sounds like, but because you were slain And with your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. People from every tribe, every language, every kind of people, every nation. That's going to be celebrated. That's going to be the thing, one of the things that we worship God over. God, you saved everybody from everywhere. John 3:16 tells us how important we are to God. If you don't know John 3:16, you need to learn it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Right? That's the world. That's the entire world. That's not he picks and chooses out of the world. Well, I'll take these five and then everyone else. No, the entire world. Whosoever it believes. That's the promise for eternal life for them. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us this. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. As some of you understand slowness, he is patient with you. God's not slow, he's patient, all right? Not wanting anyone to perish. I'm going to say that again. Not wanting anyone to perish. Who does Jesus want to perish? Who does God want to go to hell? Nobody. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone, say it, to come to repentance. What does God want for you today? He wants you to come to repentance. That's what he wants. What does he want for you? He wants heaven for you. What does he want for you? He wants the Holy Spirit for you. He wants salvation for you. He wants redemption for you. Not just you, but everybody you'll ever meet. He wants that for them because people, all people are important to God. And we could talk all day about how much people matter to God, but we wouldn't fully understand just how completely wild he is about us. People care about God. Gold. People care about gold, don't they? And people will walk over other people to get gold, right? But God creates a heaven where streets are paved with gold and all are welcome to enter. Why? Because he values people more than gold. We devalue people in favor of gold, but no, God devalues gold in favor of people. And people care about power and they'll lie and they'll kill to get it. Or just to protect it. They'll kill you just to protect it. God has all power, yet puts himself in a helpless position on the cross. Why did he do this? He did this so he could rise again on the third day. And that his living spirit could reside in your heart and give you what? His power. Why does he do that? Because he values people more than power. People value pleasure so much that they become addicted and they ruin their life for a short-lived pleasure. But Jesus Christ forsook the pleasures of this world, and instead of those things, he received tribulation, he received temptations, and he received torture. He invites us into a kingdom where he shares pleasures with us forevermore. Why does he do this? Because he values people more than pleasures. People are important to God, all people. God cares so much for people that he has this amazing plan to save humanity. It's an amazing plan, is it not? It's a crazy plan. It is so good, this plan. In Acts chapter 17, Paul is talking in Athens at a place called Mars Hill. It's one of my favorite portions of the Bible. It's such an amazing culture and context at which Paul speaks to these people. We're going to be reading some from it. Acts 17:24. This is Paul telling Athens about this amazing plan God has. Here it is, verse 24. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. Think about that for a second. Verse 26, from one man, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so. Wait a second. Why did God do all this? Paul is about to tell us. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. What amazing thing this plan is that God has for us and that Paul delivered to the Athens, the people of Athens. God has this incredible plan. And I want to point out to you, it all hangs on a perhaps. It all hangs on a perhaps. Acts 17, 27. God did this so men would seek him and perhaps reach out. Why did he create the world? Why did he go through those 7 days of creation? Why did he do that? Why did he not kill Adam and Eve? Why did he just not wipe us out all out with the flood? Why did he do that? Why did he lead Israel through the desert and towards the promised land? Why did he do that? Why did he send Jesus? Why did he do that? Why is he here right now? Why is he going to answer your prayer today? Why is he doing this? Perhaps. God did this so that perhaps men would seek him. I find that to just blow my mind. That God has this amazing plan. That God's done these amazing things that none of us could ever do. If we could do those things, we wouldn't ever stop bragging about it. If you could say, let there be light, and suddenly a sun appeared, and all the stars in heaven and earth. If you could do that, you'd never stop bragging about it. You'd be great at parties. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? Let there be light! Right? But this is what God did. Why did he do it? Perhaps. Can we be honest here? We hate perhaps. We like sure things. I remember as a kid saying, hey, can I do this? Can I go to the park? Can I go to the mall? Can I do this? And I remember the worst thing. I'd rather hear no than this word. Perhaps. We'll just have to see. I'd get so frustrated when I hear the word perhaps. Anyone relate to that? I can't stand perhaps. Let me know, yes or no. God values the perhaps. He values perhaps and built everything on the perhaps. The perhaps that men would seek him. That's why he's built everything. People matter to God, and he's built everything for the people that perhaps they'd seek him. Perhaps is the answer to everything God has ever done for humanity. Why did he create the world and place people on it? Perhaps. Why didn't he kill Adam and Eve when they sinned? Perhaps. Why didn't he make a covenant with a seemingly random guy named Abraham? Perhaps. Why did he choose a stuttering, unconfident Moses to stand up to the strongest nation on earth? Perhaps. Why did he choose David, the young shepherd boy, to be the king and not his brothers? And why did he help that boy destroy Goliath, that huge giant, and be Israel's king? Why did he do that? Perhaps. Why did he send his son to be born in a manger as an outcast? Perhaps. Why does Jesus choose seemingly unqualified people to be his disciples? Perhaps. Why does he go up to lepers and touch them? Perhaps. Why does he take time to heal the blind man? Perhaps. Why does he fill you with his presence? Perhaps. Why is he going to return again? Perhaps. Why is God right now in this place? Perhaps. It's the answer to everything. God is in the people business. That is the Father's business, the people business. And it is all built on a perhaps. Most people, most businessmen would tell you this is a terrible business model. Because you're not going to get any money out of this. God, it's built on a perhaps. It's not built on a money-making pyramid scheme. It's built on a perhaps. It's not built on, oh, how can I get everyone in the world to follow me and do this? No, because it's not that at all. He could do that in a lot of different ways. He could storm around, I'm God. No, he's come in a manger. It's a perhaps. It's not a good business model. He's done it because people are important and he loves them. That's why he's done this. He's done it for perhaps you will seek me. Perhaps you will trust me. Perhaps you'll turn to me. Perhaps you'll read my word. Yes, that dusty Bible in your home right now, it's there that perhaps you would read it. He spoke to a prophet and they wrote it down thousands of years ago. He wrote it for the people then, but he also wrote it because it'd be in your living room. And perhaps one day when you're really depressed and you need an answer, when you need Jesus, perhaps you're going to open the book of life. Perhaps it's built on a perhaps. Read my word and call on me. Perhaps they're going to call on me. And he is waiting right by. It's built on a perhaps. All of heaven comes unglued when perchance someone takes him up on his perhaps. God is in the people business. And can I tell you, so are we. Redemption Church, we are in the people business. It's the Father's business. And Jesus, before he ascends into heaven, he invites us into the people business. This is after he's buried in the tomb. 3 days later, he rises and he walks on the earth for like 40 days. It's crazy. 40 days. A lot of people don't know that part of the resurrection story. He walks on the earth for about 40 days and does all kinds of miracles. Other people got out of the grave. This Jesus is crazy, awesome, and we don't nearly talk about it enough. But he raises from the grave. And before he ascends, he gives his disciples an invitation into the Father's business. We call it the Great Commission. The Great Commission is the invitation. Raise your hand if you've ever heard the term Great Commission all over the South. All right, looking who we're talking to. All right. The Great Commission. There are five versions of the Great Commission. You listen up. It's going to take some scripture, but this is some good knowledge. Get it in your heart. All right. A version of the Great Commission can be found in each of the four Gospels and what other book? Not the Gospel, but the book of Acts. So that makes five versions of the Great Commission. Why are they different? Because they have different authors, and they wrote it from their point of view and summarized it, all right, into a smaller story. Let's look at all five versions. Here we go. Matthew 28:19. If you are into note-taking, this would be great to take some notes on. Matthew 28:19. Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's Matthew 28:19. Let's go ahead to Mark 16:15. And he said to them, this is Jesus, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Verse 16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. We're moving on. Luke 24:46. He told them, who said it? Who are we talking? Who's, Jesus is talking here. This is what is written, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And in John 20:22, and with that, he, Jesus, breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. And then in Acts 1:8, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We sang that song today, Jesus, I will believe in you and I would go to the ends of the earth. It's talking about the Great Commission, Acts 1:8. Those are the five versions of the Great Commission. We shorten them down. We cut off some parts, but go check it out. Read it, all right? They're recurring things that happen in all five versions. Maybe you picked up on it, right? Believing shows up. And if it's not specifically mentioned, it's at least perceived that believing would be a part of it. All right? Repentance shows up. Repentance shows up. Baptism shows up, doesn't it? Baptism for the remission of sins shows up. And the infilling of the Holy Spirit shows up. All of these things show up throughout the five versions of the Great Commission. Our invitation into the Father's business. By the way, I have to tell you that all these things that we talk about, believing, repentance, baptism for the remission of sins, and the Holy Spirit, all these things were present in Acts chapter 2 at the birth of the New Testament church. All these things were present when for the first time when the gospel is preached. Peter stands up, he preaches about Jesus, and these five things show up. In fact, Peter encapsulates all these five things in one verse. There's not five things, one, two, three, four things. Right? Here they are in Acts chapter 2, 38. He says, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness, the remission of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Where's believing? Where's believing? It's perceived. Because the verse right before it, they say, what can we do? They just heard the message. In other words, we believe we're doomed. What can we do? We believe that we killed the Christ, the Messiah. So there's believing right there. It all happened the first time the gospel is preached. Can I tell you, when the gospel is preached, that is what should happen? Because not because we decide to be this kind of church, but because we're in the Father's business. He set it up this way. That's why when Acts chapter 2, it's preached, that's why it happens that way. It should happen. When we preach Jesus, repentance and believing and being baptized should happen. People should be filled with the Holy Spirit because that's the Father's business. But there is one more thing present in all these Great Commission versions. We have believing. We have repentance. We have baptism. We have the Holy Spirit infilling. But we have one more thing. We have people. We have people. And we have the command to go to people. To go to every nation. To go preach to all creation. To go and whoever's sins are forgiven. Whoever has to be forgiven. Whoever has to be baptized. They're going to be saved. Whosoever. That is also in there. People. You know what? There's nothing nastier than a church that doesn't care about people. There's nothing nastier than that. Can I tell you, there is nothing further from God's love and plan than a church that doesn't care about people. They can say they're about the Father's business, but if they don't love people, they are nowhere near it. Go teach. Go make disciples. Go into all the world. Begin at Jerusalem, but go out from there to do Judea and Samaria. Those are surrounding areas around Jerusalem and into the uttermost parts of the earth. This is the commission. This is the Great Commission to go reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the Great Commission. Can I tell you that Jesus hasn't given us any other mission? He's not given us a mission to build really pretty cathedrals. He's not given us a mission to have, you know, really good times together and sing songs and feel really good about ourselves and then pat ourselves on the back and say, see you next Sunday. He has not called us into being really good scripture quoters. No, he's given us the mission of the Great Commission. And he's not given us any other mission. We talked about churches that don't love people being ugly. Well, churches that include other things into the mission, like legalism, That gets ugly real quick. I was raised in a group where we had, oh man, we'd preach Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And also, you shouldn't have TVs in your home or you're going to go to hell. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Don't go to the movies or you're going to go to Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Women, don't cut your hair or you're going to, I'm serious. I was raised in that. There's weird, ugly stuff. Can I tell you, the mission is Jesus and you're connecting Jesus to other people. That's the mission. Don't you dare add anything to that mission. That is the Father's business. You don't have a right to add any other thing to that mission, because that is the mission. That is the hope. And that is what Jesus has sent us out on. This is Jesus we're talking about. Before he's ascended, told us to do these things. How dare we add anything else to him? God's plan depends on us fulfilling this mission. How many know God doesn't need anything, right? We know this scripture, right? We know that understanding in the Word of God. In fact, we read in Acts 17, he doesn't need temples. He doesn't need anything from men's hands. We read that. That's what Paul says. But let me tell you, God's mission depends on us. Why would he do this to his plan? See, God doesn't need anything, but he has set up a plan where you matter. He has set up a plan where we are important. He has set up a plan that God could fail if no one preached Jesus. He set up a plan that if he gave that great commission, and if those guys would have just gone, oh, well, that's weird, Jesus, and walked off, and no one ever preached Jesus, his plan would have failed. The God who doesn't need anything set up a plan where he needs you. He needs you in your school. He needs you on the job. He needs you in your house. He needs you in Plano, Texas, and in Irving, and in Dallas Metroplex. Wherever you are, Jesus Christ needs you because you're about the Father's business. The Father's business is built on you. Again, I would maybe argue that is a terrible business model, God. But it's what he's done. I mean, if his plan could ever fail, it would be by putting it into the hands of people. But that is exactly what God has done. Why did he do that? Perhaps. Perhaps you'd do this. Perhaps you'd let his love for you invade your life and then you start loving other people. Perhaps you'd do that. And perhaps you'd get your mind out of this world and your thoughts off of the materialistic rat race, and you would put yourself into the Great Commission and you'd seek ye first the kingdom of God. Perhaps you do that. That's why he did this. It's all built on a perhaps. God's plan is built on the perhaps that you will carry the gospel of Jesus somewhere. Are you about the Father's business? Are you carrying out the Great Commission? When was the last time? Sorry for the beatdown. I don't want it to feel like a beatdown. I really don't. But really, let's take roll call in our head. When was the last time we shared the gospel of Jesus with someone? That we shared faith with someone? When was the last time you reached back and you reached back and you took a testimony from your life and you put it on display in front of someone and told someone about the marvelous, miraculous thing that Jesus did for you? When was the last time you did that? That's the Father's business. You should be doing that. See, we worship so freely at church, but are we so freely speaking to our friends, family about the one that we worship? God's plan is built on a perhaps. And fulfilling the Great Commission requires a perhaps from you. I want to talk to you about this chair. Can I preach to you a little bit about a chair? This right here, it's a fine chair. There's a lot of value in this chair. This chair can be purchased for anywhere near $60 to $70 by itself. Did you know that? If you wanted to just buy one chair, it'd cost you about $60, $70, and then there would be shipping on top of that. I believe it's the 21-inch wide metal chair with custom fabric options, and it can be ordered in bulk for a discounted rate of around $32.99, all right? But even at that, look around. Chairs are expensive. And you can find it online from several places. This one in particular is from, I looked earlier, it's from the chair, well, I want to get this right because they're watching online, Church Chair Industries of Rome, Georgia. This is a chair was made in Rome, Georgia. All right. What a nice chair. What a valuable chair. If you order more than 50 chairs, they'll even throw in a chair dolly to help you move multiple chairs. Who wants to go in with me to get some chairs, right? I'll get the dolly, you get the chairs. So this chair under these conditions is worth how much money? $32.99, right? That's the value of this chair. That's the intrinsic value that you find in this chair. But perhaps this chair is worth a lot more than $32.99 when someone is sitting in it. What if your loved one were sitting in this chair? Then perhaps would this chair be worth more? What if you had a friend? God's been dealing with you to share Jesus with them. And finally one day you invited them to church and they wandered into this church. They might have been like 15 minutes late. They were really nervous about how they looked. Really nervous to go visit a church. But they came for you. But they found themselves sitting in this chair. At perhaps that moment, does this chair become worth more than $32.99? What if someone came into this chair, sat down in it, and they heard the message of Jesus Christ? They heard about the gospel of Jesus. They heard some fascinating things like Jesus Christ is still alive. And they heard that his blood can wipe away all of their sins and all of their shame. What if they heard that? And what if they heard that they could ask Jesus to forgive them and he would forgive them right there on the spot? Would this chair be worth more than $32.99? What if a drug addict walked in from off the street and found deliverance while sitting in this chair? What if he left this place and he went home to his wife and he apologized for the years of torment he has brought for them and he brought them back next week and they sat in this chair? What if his kids grew up inside this chair? What if a young person sat in this chair through the hardest times of their adolescence? And they had all kinds of questions, and they had all kinds of doubts. But they came to this chair, and they found Jesus. Would this chair be worth more than $32.99? Would it perhaps be worth more than that? If no one ever sits in this chair, its value will always be no higher than $32.99. But the value of this chair changes on the perhaps. The perhaps that someone sits into this chair. In fact, I would tell you that this chair becomes priceless. This chair that you walk past every Sunday and you don't ever give it no mind. This chair right here, it becomes priceless. This chair, when it's used for the Father's business, oh man, it's worth a lot more than $32.99. Can I tell you that real value and worth lies in the perhaps? When your life comes in contact with the perhaps of God, I'm telling you, you are priceless. No one can put a dollar figure on your head when you come in contact with the perhaps of God. You hold conversations with people every day. Sometimes they're really innocuous conversations. Sometimes they're just a really simple, you know, you see this one teller at the bank, and so you exchange pleasantries, and you have that small little exchange. Maybe there's that person that you tend to get on the elevator at the same time with them at work, and you have that simple little conversation. What is that conversation worth? Most of these conversations hold very little value. If we miss that conversation today, we might not even think about it. In fact, some conversations we have with people, they hold so little value, they actually hold negative value. We cannot wait to get off the phone with some of these people. But what would happen if perhaps you had a conversation that led someone to faith in Jesus Christ? How valuable would that conversation be? Could you put a price tag on that conversation? Even if it took you so much time, would it still be worth it? Would it? Would that be worth your time and effort? But perhaps they won't. Perhaps they won't. We often don't share our faith because perhaps they won't. Perhaps they won't receive what I have to say. Perhaps they won't think we're very smart. Perhaps they're just going to think we're dumb Christians. Perhaps it's going to feel awkward. We've missed opportunities to share Jesus because of that. Perhaps they won't. Perhaps they won't is a possibility. It's always a possibility. But it didn't stop God from being in the people business, from giving his son and giving us the chance for redemption. Because he knew, perhaps, and from the very beginning, he knew perhaps some wouldn't. We have bypassed opportunities to testify and tell others about Jesus because we think the amount of rejection we will feel is far too great. Perhaps they won't. Can I tell you for just a moment, perhaps they will. Would you listen to me a little bit and tell you that perhaps they will? Do you understand the value of perhaps they will? Do you really get that value? Has it really found its place in your mind? The perhaps they say, yes, I'll go to church. The perhaps they say, yes, I feel guilty of my sin. The perhaps that, yes, would you pray with me? Perhaps they will. I'm here to tell you it far outweighs the fear of perhaps they won't. Just like the value of sitting in this chair becomes greater when someone's sitting in it, your value as a Christ follower becomes greater when you're operating in God's perhaps. I grew up sitting on the front row of a church. I wouldn't trade anything for it. Wasn't a perfect church, but I really loved God. And I always thought, you know what, I want to do great things for God, so I'm going to learn how to sing. I just pictured myself one day singing and leading praise to God and helping other people. I'll learn to play the piano. That's it. Or I'll clean in the church. I'll do something. And that'll be good for the kingdom. I learned all this stuff, and I thought, man, that's just going to add so much value to what I'm... Those things are great. But I'm going to tell you, the most valuable I've ever been to the kingdom is when I bypassed the fear of perhaps they won't, and I stepped into perhaps they will, and I told someone about Jesus. That's the most valuable I've ever been in the kingdom. That is the most powerful thing I've ever done in the kingdom. If you were to stand on a platform and preach to a million people at once, but you never shared Jesus with them, I'm telling you, your one little conversation with the Starbucks barista about the love of Jesus is far more valuable. It's far more. You can't even quantify the value of it. Remember, we're talking about the God who paves heaven with golden asphalt. The value of this church. When we become a corporation and we have to fill out all this paperwork, they need to know what are all the valuables of this church. We need to write it down. What are all the insurance especially needs to know, well, what are all your valuables? And you got to write those things down. And like, well, we have this many microphones, and we have this many chairs, and we have this many podiums, and These are all the materials that the church owns. Those, let me tell you, those aren't the most valuable things in this church. The value of this church is incalculable when it is operating in God's perhaps. When we're about the Father's business, it's you can't calculate that worth. It could change a city. It could change Dallas, Texas. It could change the world. It could turn the world upside down. Do you realize this value? We sit in this church and we hear about it all the time. But do you really get that value? Do you get it? If you put $1 million in your bank account, it doesn't equal to the value of this Jesus you're sitting in the presence of right now. Do you get the perhaps? You have friends right now. How invaluable would it have been had they been here today and felt what we felt during worship? How invaluable would it have been for them to hear the testimony of Pastor David Fuller getting healed from his coma? How invaluable would it have been if they would have had a chance to come to this altar today? Can I tell you, this simple sermon isn't worth a lot. I've come to grips with that. My preaching is not worth that much. But if it can find the heart of someone who wants to know God, follow God, even though I stumble over my words, even though some people always seem to come up to me and talk to me about my theology being messed up, whatever. If I can find one person that wants to know God and I get to tell them about God, then this sermon, it becomes something of unbelievable value. We're in the people business, folks. We're in the Father's business. We aren't here to have a few songs and hear a sermon and then do the third thing and go home. That's not it. We're about the Father's business. And it all operates on a perhaps. In a moment, we're going to be opening this altar to do the third thing. We're going to talk to God. As you come this week, I want you to take one of the cards you're handed on the way into church today. It just says perhaps on it. If you did not receive a card, we've got some right here. We've also got some pins right up here at the front. On your way to the front today, as you come to pray, I really hope you take a step from your chair today to talk to God. I want you to put the names of some people that you know that would make this chair priceless. I want you to put the names of some people you care about that need to know Jesus. That if they were sitting in this chair today and heard about God's love for them, that it would be worth everything. Can you think of those people? Can you got those names coming forward? I want you to come. I want you to write their names on this card, and I want you to put them in this chair. And I want you to talk to God about these people. I want you to talk to God about some perhaps that He's got in your life. There are people in this room today that God is drawing you to do greater things. How do you know that, Pastor Floyd? Is that prophetic? Are you working in the spiritual gifts? No, I know God. And He wants to use you in the Father's business. I just know that because He's done that for me. I know that He's got a perhaps for you. He's got a conversation that you need to have with someone. He has got something that you can do in this world that no one else can do. Will you walk into that perhaps? I want you to come to this altar today. This altar is already open right now. I want you to place that card on this chair. That person's eternity might depend on your willingness to face the perhaps. If you need something from God, I want you to understand God's plan is waiting on your perhaps. If you need healing in this place, perhaps you should come in the first 2 feet and we'll pray for you. That's what this time is about. What will you do with the perhaps in front of you. Why don't we
thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.